Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, July 2nd, 2024. Thank you for downloading. I alert you to a Twitter account called Progress Bar. And the year 2024, according to Progress Bar, is 50% complete. And I had such big plans for 2024, all laid out on New Year's Eve. And I've done so very little of them. But hey, we still have the back half of the year to go. Let's make some halftime adjustments and let's get going. All right, today on the program, just you and me together. And I appreciate everyone who supports this podcast, and I take the time to do one solo show a week so that people are under no uncertain conclusions that everything you hear in this podcast happens to be my opinion and nothing more, and my opinion alone. And I can speak these words freely and in my truest sense without worrying about, is someone going to go, we don't want you talking about that. This is truly my platform. Many athletes and media people think, well, I've got a platform, so I should speak to this issue or that issue. But in reality, that their platform belongs to somebody else. If you're on ESPN, you don't have a platform. You're on ESPN's platform, and you ought to be doing whatever ESPN wants you to do. Now, sadly, ESPN has been clearly showing what they want their anchors to do these days, and it has been quite the turnoff to many of us. But anyhow, that being said, today on the program, a great story that maybe everyone knows about. It took me a little while to go, hey, wait a minute, that's happening right now? Because I was not paying attention closely enough. But maybe I'll shed light on this for you guys. Dr. Jill, VAR nightmare, initiative, and parody. All topics on today's podcast, but we start with what I'm going to be calling Mark Knopfler Day or Dire Straits Day, because July 1st is your Money for Nothing Day. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day on Monday for everyone who celebrates. Turn it up. I'd say this song is a banger, but I've been told I don't know what a banger is. I used today on my banger rejoin, Yes, with the Power of Love, or the Rhythm of Love, Yes. And of course, people roasted me. It's losing handily at Banger Review. And then people were mocking me, like, this band sucks. And I'm like, okay, you may not... There we go, Money for Nothing. Stepped on. I'm like, you may not like progressive rock, but Yes is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They've sold millions of records. They've sold out stadiums. What have you done? We got some install microwave ovens, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move. Of course, course, this song begins with a pretty long prelude, much like Rhythm of Love did as well. So I'm not sure if this has been used as a banger rejoin yet, but man, the money is flowing and the money is flying. Let's start with one Jason Tatum, who has signed a massive new 5-year extension with the Boston Celtics that is going to pay him an average of $62 million a year. Before taxes, though, and other fees. I'll get to that in a second. 5 years, $314 million for Tatum, who did not even win the finals MVP. That, of course, went to his teammate, Jaylen Brown, who is going to get paid a shit ton of money as well. Now, that's not money for nothing. That is well-earned money right there, but holy cow. Tatum's deal is so big, but it's not technically the biggest if you adjust for inflation, so says Darren Revelle. Tatum earns $71 million in the year 2029/30. Based on current inflation, Jordan's $33 million in the 97-98 season would equal $74.7 million in 2029. Of course, I don't know how Darren would know what inflation would be in 2029. Could be a lot more, could be a lot less. Let's hope so. Also, Bobby Bonilla getting paid today over $1 million as part of his long string of deferred payments. But I remember reading a story about how Bobby Bonilla didn't really make out well in the deferring of the money. That if you were to assume a certain reasonable rate of return in a fairly secure set of securities or stocks and bonds or whatever, that he would have done much better on his own. But it's not bad getting a check every July 1st from the Mets for like $1.3 million. Also getting paid today, money for nothing. The Nationals are paying $15 million to Max Scherzer, no longer pitching for them. Ken Griffey Jr. gets the last of his deferred payment of $3.59 million from the Reds. And Manny Ramirez, that's just Manny being Manny, gets $1.96 million from the Red Sox. Andrew Brandt, who was a guest on Zabe and Butch in the Morning on 97.3 The Game recently, he tweeted, "I was always amused at the reaction to Bobby Bonilla's deferred payments. I don't know about his interest rates, but I know this. Every team and every sport would rather defer than pay in present. Money now is better than money later. I fought with agents all the time in trying to defer on behalf of the team." It is true. Money now is better than money later. Unless you waste your money. Then money now becomes money gone. And then it's like, what happened to the money? Well, you gave it all to me up front. So yeah. Yeah, it's gone now. The breakdown of Tatum's incredible salary, once you chop it up, is a bit sobering. But he's still, no one's going to hold a fundraiser for him, that's for sure. Here it is from Andrew Petcash. He is a former D1 basketball player, tweets about sports, business, and investing. Petcash. $62.8 million salary average, $23.2 million in federal taxes, $4.7 million of a jock tax per year, $8.1 million escrow plus agent, $1.4 million FICA and Medicare, and that leaves about $25.2 million net income. Now, I don't know how the state taxes are on that, but man. You're like, nobody's crying for a guy whose take-home is $25 million. But off a base of 62, that's well over half. Pretty rough. So there it is. Happy Mark Knopfler Day to those who celebrate or to those who gnash their teeth and say, I just cannot take it. That's way too much money for anybody. Now, the interesting thing is that the Celtics are apparently going to be sold now. Just 2 weeks after the finals, Wick Grosbeck and his group plan to sell their majority stake. They bought the team back in 2002 for a mere $360 million. Man, the Celtics were purchased for $360 million in 2002. Since then, franchise valuations have skyrocketed, with the latest teams to sell controlling shares being the Phoenix Suns, which went for $4 billion to Matt Ishbia. The Bucks got Jimmy and Dee Haslam on board for half of the franchise. They paid $3.5 billion for that. And the Mavericks, with the Adelson and Dumont families, paying $3.5 billion in December. Celtics, one of the iconic franchises in pro sports, NBA record 18 NBA titles, probably would go for $5 billion or $5,000 million, as I like to say. So it really focuses your mind. Bought it for $360 million. They're going to make $5,000 million. Pretty good. Now to the feel-good story of the baseball season so far. I did not know this because I don't follow the Mets very closely. We did have in studio Frank the Tank from Barstool, big Mets fan, about a month and a half ago when the Mets were just sucking and sucking badly. And he was ripping on the Mets, and this is a terrible season. And he wasn't wrong. But then June happened, and the Mets got hotter than shit in the month of June. I forget the exact wins they had in the month, but it's like they couldn't lose. And I had heard that they had adopted Grimace, McDonald's Grimace, as sort of their unofficial rally mascot of sorts. What I didn't know was that their utility infielder, Jose Iglesias, released a song that went to number one on the Latin charts called Oh My God, or OMG. And it's catchy. It's a Latin dance banger, even if it is a bit formulaic. And after a game, they brought him out, dimmed the lights in the stadium, and let him perform the song, and it was awesome. Here's a sample for it right now.
New York City! Let's keep the party going!
Now, I know you're saying, come on, Zabe, I've heard this same Latin song, Latin beat, with the basic chorus a million times over. Well, you're just a cynic with a cold heart. Jose Iglesias, no relation to singing great Julio Iglesias or his son. Who's his son that does the singing? It'll come to me. No relation. From Cuba and defected when the team was playing in Canada. Even though they had doubled the amount of security with the team, he had inside help, walked out the hotel briefly when they let him get out of the hotel just to take a little bit of a walk and a break. And a friend with a car in Canada swooped by, picked him and a teammate up, and disappeared into the Canadian night. They then walked across the border to Montana and went through the whole legal process. And so Jose Iglesias, who's been in the big leagues now for like 14 years and kind of knocked around a bunch of teams, wrote this song talking about how thankful he is to have escaped communist Cuba. He says, every verse is a punchline. It's hard to translate. You got to be thankful to have another day in life, for the close and real friends you have. Always do good. Never do bad, because energy comes around. One day you'll be on top. The next day you'll be on the bottom.
Let me see those hands, New York!
It's awesome. The team all came out there to dance with him and whatnot. And, you know, it's a good story. I love it. These are the kind of stories we need in sports to cleanse the palate and to satisfy the soul, given everything else that's going on. as well as the insane amount of money that is out there in sports. Another OMG. OMG. The president is a veg. Oh, no kidding. Were you still believing that Joe Biden was sharp and capable of running anything in life, much less the country? Well, after the debate, yeah, you kind of, your eyes are open. Now, not everybody. There's still some people in hard denial. Even Andy, who you heard yesterday, reliable Democrat, says he'll never vote for Trump. But if he has to, he'll vote for Biden. Even he knows what it looks like when somebody, unfortunately, is in the more advancing stages of either Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, or perhaps a combination of both. Now, to think that we've got a current president so mentally incapacitated, to think that the election is still 2, 3, 4, 5 months away, and to think that the Democrats are scrambling right now to try to figure out how to replace him without upsetting everything and completely tanking the election, it reminds me of the old supposedly Chinese proverb, "May you live in interesting times." Now, I've since learned it's not actually, they can't find any reference to it being a Chinese proverb. And the proverb was also described as a curse, that may you live in interesting times is not like, won't it be fun? It'll be more like, oh shit, I can't believe the stuff that's happening. But I did look it up and it says that nobody's been able to find an actual Chinese origin for this, but it's been in the use, it's been in use in America in English for at least 30 to 40 years, and there are references to it going back to Robert F. Kennedy. May you live in interesting times. Politically, I would say the first big, wow, interesting moment was the 2000 election, closely contested, Bush v. Gore, and it came down to under 2,000 ballots in Florida, and a fucked up ballot, the butterfly ballot, and hanging chads, and oh my God, how many months was it? It was at least deep into the winter before that thing got settled by the Supreme Court. And of course, nobody was happy about that. Then you had the 2016 election, where Donald Trump arrives, picks up this blowtorch of an issue, immigration, and just says, wonder what would happen if I did this? And starts using it, and incredibly wins the nomination, is predicted to get wiped out by Hillary Clinton. And then on election night, the voters had something else to say, didn't they? And everyone was like, wow, that was interesting times. And then 2020, pandemic, when Biden wins by essentially about 43,000 votes in about 3 or 4 key swing states. And it also involved the stopping of the counting on the night of the election, and hold on a second, we got some more ballots coming in and mail-in ballots, and oh, pipes broke down in Atlanta, and you know, it was a complete mess. Never before in my lifetime had we not known, well, who won when we went to bed, but that was 2020. I personally am tired of the interesting times we're living in, and now it's even more so because the president is clearly gone, gone, gone. And the worst part about it is the utterly shameful media malpractice. It's one thing if the president, whoever it is acting poorly, criminally, or is not there mentally. It's the media's job to call balls and strikes, to hammer on, oh my God, and this could have been done a long time ago, but the media parroted the Biden administration's talking points about it. He's as sharp as a tack. The media is supposed to be the watchdogs of a functioning free society. The dog that barks when somebody is trying to break in. Well, now not only is the dog wagging his tail for the intruders, letting them pet him, but the dog is now barking at the police who are responding. And so it's a complete disaster. Every liberal outlet repeated the wild lie that Biden was sharp as a tack. Yeah, sharp as the top of a tack. And we're supposed to have a 25th Amendment, which says, hey, we've got a procedure in place in case a president becomes mentally incapacitated. We need to have a leader who knows what day it is. They even threatened to use that against Trump. Where's that now? Anyone? We going to invoke that? Of course, many people are saying, well, this was their plan, the Democrats' plan. They knew all along that he wasn't going to make it, but he wouldn't voluntarily step down. So what we'll do is we'll schedule a debate really early. We know he's going to suck. He'll get completely demolished. And then we can go, well, you know what, Joe? It's time to step down, and we'll swap in somebody else. That's a great plan, except their plan includes a senile and stubborn old man and his wife, the first lady, who I'll get to in a second. They would have to pull what is somebody I saw online called the Night of the Long Pillows, which is a reference to the Night of the Long Knives, known as the Rom Putsch, and the purge of the Nazi stormtrooper leadership and other political opponents in June of 1934. Night of the Long Pillows. Now, look, I'm not saying they would do such a thing to poor old Joe, but I cannot be totally certain at this point. Got ballot issues in at least three key states in which if you don't change him out sooner rather than later, you're not even going to be on the ballot. Georgia, Nevada, Wisconsin, apparently, these are issues. And then you have the problem of the money. The money is already dried up and is drying up for Biden because it looks like he's a sure loser. And the money they do have on hand, it can only be spent by Kamala because she's on the ticket with him. Now, of course, I say all this as if the rules of the game in the box top of modern American politics are even going to be followed anyway by anybody. But we shall see. Newsom, I mean, you talk about a slimy guy. Newsom had to admit in a press conference he was banging his campaign manager's wife. Whoops. How'd that happen? Plus, he is California politics, and there's a reason that California just does not produce good national candidates anymore. Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan has some, I guess, retail appeal to the casual political voter, but she was terrible on the COVID thing, with the gardening issue being the most comical of all, that certain hardware stores could be open, but you can't buy seeds or any gardening supplies for reasons that only she, I guess, had some idea about. Ridiculous. And of course, there's the Kamala problem, which is she is both stupid and hated by just about everybody. But she is a black woman, and passing her over would be a big, big problem. I do think the Dems are in big trouble. They're not fucked, not yet. A lot of weird shit could happen. It already has. But they're like a baseball team that it feels like they're running out of at-bats, trailing late in the game. Or it feels like you and I looking for our wallet or our keys, and you're like, all right, maybe it's in my golf bag. Let me go check that. You go check your golf bag, not there. Maybe it's in the car. Okay, you think about three or four or five places that the thing you're desperately looking for could be there. And with each one you go to and it's not there, your heart sinks a little bit. You're like, fuck, I'm running out of outs here. Where is that thing? That is the worst feeling. I'm running out of outs. What can we do? Which brings me to Dr. Jill Biden, doctor of education, not a real doctor. I do quite object to anyone insisting on being called doctor, even if they have a doctorate in anything but medicine. I believe we're going to give honorifics to doctors. It should be medicine doctors or witch doctors. But yeah, Dr. Jill Biden, she is on the cover of Vogue magazine, which is a fashion magazine. And of course, they are painting her in the most glorious of light. She put out a photo that said prepping for the G7 summit. And she was hard at work at a desk. I think somebody said it was on Air Force One. And it was like, woman, who voted for you? The first lady is supposed to be doing stuff that is not really central to the operation of the country. Community good deeds and charities and stuff like that. Not because you're a woman. If there ever is a first man, he should also be doing mostly non-relevant to the running of the country stuff. It's because nobody voted for you. They voted for your husband, but whatever. In the story in Vogue about Dr. Jill Biden, the reporter talked about what it was like to be in her motorcade. Quote, if you want to know what power feels like, try to get yourself driven around in a motorcade. Flashing police chaperone lights from a perimeter as you blaze down an empty highway, waiting cars backed up on entry ramps as you pass. It's as if the world is holding its breath for you. Also, rules don't apply. Do you think Jill Biden wants to say First Lady of the United States or FLOTUS? Desperately, of course. Not only that, but don't you think the Bidens want to stay in power because as soon as they're out, they could be going, they could be facing jail time themselves? Of course. Bill Ackman, a Democrat hedge fund billionaire, wrote the following about Jill Biden. Quote, I no longer blame Joe for not stepping aside. He no longer has the mental acuity to make important judgments about himself. It's becoming increasingly clear, however, that the fault lies with Jill Biden. Jill Biden becomes irrelevant the moment her husband is no longer president. No more Air Force One, no more glamorous life, no more White House dinners for dignitaries, no more being treated like a queen when traveling the world. I'm sorry to be harsh, writes Ackman, but what has become entirely clear is that the First Lady values what is best for herself over her husband's health and the safety and security of the country at large. Stress is a contributor to neurological deterioration, and the doctors must have told her that. Think about how much stress she is putting Joe under by making him continue with his campaign. Now in public appearances, she treats him like an infant. Oh, you answered every question. Yeah, that soundbite was something else, wasn't it? I'm sorry, is this kindergarten here? What are we doing?
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do?
I mean, is this real life? What is going on here? Ackman continues, and she gets the crowd wound up and cheering at events. Perhaps she thinks the crowd is cheering for her. I wouldn't doubt it. Her power has clearly grown as he gets weaker. And she likes the feeling of power, writes Ackman. She speaks for the president when he can't or when he is napping. She tells his team and staff when he is available and when he is not available. She likes being in control. We all do, says Ackman. Which begs the question, how many decisions of the president are actually made by the First Lady? Her friends, quote, friends, likely don't tell her the truth, as they too want to continue to be invited to the White House and to be able to say that they are friends with the First Lady and the president, and, I would presume, to be ridden around in motorcades. Jill Biden is destroying her own legacy along with the president's. The whole thing would just be a tragedy for the Biden family if it didn't put the country at risk, at greater risk, in a world in turmoil. Perhaps she didn't understand what the phrase in sickness and in health actually meant. Bill Ackman, hedge fund billionaire, yes, but lifelong Democrat saying all this. We'll see. I don't think he makes it to November. What happens, though, between now and then? Fuck if I know. May we live in interesting times, just not quite that interesting. One last note. Biden was at Camp David for a week prepping for this disastrous debate. A week for that. Camp David was named by Dwight Eisenhower in 1953 for his grandson, David. David Eisenhower, his grandson, the source of the camp's name, is 6 years younger than Joe Biden. Wow. Quick break. When we come back, VAR nightmare in the Euros, and a thought or two on initiative, and a chat I had with my youngest daughter about it just a day ago. You are listening to the Zabecast. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Dateline Germany. I don't want to say I told you, but I've been telling you. That doesn't matter to those who still worship at the altar of the false god that is replay in all of its forms. Getting it right, as Sally once told me, and it rings true more and more all the time, is overrated in sports. Games are played for our entertainment and to enrich the owners and the players along the way, and to fill up TV schedules and stadiums and to make us forget about all the other bullshit in life, which we just talked about. They're games. Nobody wins, nobody dies. Nobody lives, nobody dies, nobody goes to jail, nobody stays free based on the outcome of a game. We want them to be as fair as possible. We want them to be officiated as well as we can by humans. But the problem with replay is this notion, this conceit, this arrogance by man that they can leverage technology to zoom in and get more camera angles and super slow-mo to say, oh, look at that. I spot a violation. And in a sport like soccer, where the margins are just so crude, 1-0 is a common soccer or football score, to nullify a massive thing like a goal, which may be the only goal scored in the game and the difference in winning and losing, shouldn't be over a 2-centimeter toenail that was offsides, quote unquote. Yet that's what happened in the Germany-Denmark game in the Euros. So here's what happened. Denmark coach Kasper Hjelmund was ballistic after the game because of two VAR interventions that cost Denmark the match. Premier League referee Michael Oliver ruled out a Joachim Anderson goal at the 48-minute mark following a VAR intervention that highlighted a marginal offsides involving Denmark midfielder Thomas Delaney. He was offsides, technically, if you look at 15 different angles, by literally a couple of centimeters. As if that wasn't bad enough, later in the game, as play was going on and a crossing pass was deflected but unseen to most people's eyes by the hand of a Denmark defender, Germany successfully lobbied the referees to stop the game out of nowhere and to go to VAR and see if the defender nicked the ball with his hand in the penalty box, which it turns out, oh, well, there it is. Tiny little thing. He wasn't trying to deflect the ball. It really didn't do much to change the course or trajectory of it. But nope, a rule's a rule. So, penalty kick. And as you know my stance on penalty kicks, they should be renamed automatic goals. Because while they're not totally automatic, they're still like a 90% proposition. And this is why I know soccer or football is the world's most popular sport. And it can be compelling in the World Cup and other high-level competitions, but several of their antiquated, completely batshit stupid rules, like penalty kicks being an automatic goal, are deal-breakers for me. Offsides is a concept that I also think needs some major reworking. Either paint a stripe on these fields and make it like hockey, so at least you have to stay out of the offensive zone, or greatly liberalize offsides so that you have a little bit more scoring, so that 1-0 is not the typical soccer score, but 3-2 is, and there's more action. But hey, as I've said time and again, I'll say it one more time, soccer does not need my help. And they didn't ask for it, so you may freely ignore my points on this. But the Denmark coach was beside himself, saying it was decided by two VAR decisions. It was 1 centimeter. It doesn't make sense. It's not how we're supposed to be using VAR. Yeah, well, a lot of us told you this was going to happen. Mission creep. At first, VAR was just to determine if a ball went in the net or not. Because there was a big goal in a big tournament that, whoops, how'd you miss that? I don't know. I'm human. Shit happens. We need replay. Okay, replay, but just for goals. It's how it happened in football. Mission creep. How it happened in baseball. Oh, we're just going to check home runs, we swear. There was a home run call over the weekend that was clear to every announcer watching on television, okay, they're going to reverse this. Call stood. They were like, what's going on here? Will they ever get rid of VAR in soccer? I doubt it. I have not seen any sport in any league successfully trim back or get rid of something that has ruined, I say that with all seriousness, many a sport. It should be for fun and officiated the best we can with human eyes on the field. All of this microscoping everything, that's not sport. So tough one there, Denmark, but Germany, on you go. A thought about initiative. So my youngest daughter, Megan, is back from she's on a one-year grad program at Christopher Newport in teaching and Spanish, and we're very proud of her. She just graduated in the spring, but she's going to go through this one-year accelerated thing. And so she's back from, you know, school, and she also works at a coffee shop near the campus. And she was just sort of venting at dinner time about, you know, some of the stuff that was messed up at the coffee shop and how, you know, she reports to a manager that deals with the front of the house. The back of the house is the kitchen and all the other stuff, but the front of the house is the coffee makers and the cash register and the dining area. Okay. And she said, it's so dumb. We used to have these cookies we would sell, and they were great. They were delicious. Crispy on the outside, chewy on the inside. They were just, mwah. I loved how passionate Megan was being about this. And she said, and then we just stopped getting them. And so now it seems like our regulars are going, what happened to the chocolate chip cookies? And I'm like, I don't know. And I said, well, did you ask your manager about that? And she was like, she doesn't care. I'm like, well, maybe she does. Maybe she's unaware. So why don't you ask her? Yeah, no, I just want to vent, Dad. I'm not here to solve problems. Of course, that's me being in dad mode, trying to, you know, hey, here's a learning opportunity, my dear child. She said that there's a parent company that owns this coffee shop and a couple others, and they're the ones that likely were the supplier for the cookies. She didn't know who supplied the cookies. And I said, well, why don't you, after you ask your manager if she knows anything about it, if she doesn't, go find out the number for the supplier to the parent company and call them up and go, hey, we're so-and-so coffee shop and we haven't been getting the cookies. What's going on? Maybe you'll find out it was like a clerical error saying, oh, I thought we got an email from you guys saying don't deliver them anymore. But yeah, if you want to get them again, then we'll start sending them again. And then all of a sudden the cookies come back. You get to be the hero. You took the initiative. Nobody had to tell you to do it. Not that her career is going to be working in a coffee shop, but just to exercise her own muscles of taking initiative. Because one thing I've found over the years with myself and just watching other people in life and business is that there is few things that possess the kind of magic to an employer quite like an employee with initiative in a positive direction. Not going rogue, but taking care of things, anticipating problems, fixing them on their own, making things easier for their superiors without even having to be told. That is akin to magic. And while it's not going to lead to a better career at a coffee shop for my daughter, because she's not going to be a barista her whole life, it does lead to things sometimes where next thing you know, hey, this little thing I did, I got the flow of cookies coming back to the coffee shop because I untangled the problem. Nobody had to tell me to do it. I didn't make more money because of it, but I felt like I got to fix this. Bing, bang, boom, flex your muscles. Do that at a higher level. Next thing you know, who knows where you'll be in life? How do you think somebody with a cool job, and I don't know if this job exists, but I bet it does, say the tour manager for Taylor Swift, how do you think they got there? Probably by being one of those take the initiative, problem-solving people who's on top of things, detail-oriented, but at the same time understands how to navigate the world of egos and power and hierarchy and doesn't upset the people above them. And yes, plays the game politically a bit to know their lane and make sure they don't get out of line and earn the trust of people who are rich and powerful so that you get to the point where, holy shit, I'm traveling the world being the stage manager for Taylor Swift. How did I get here? Well, one step at a time. Now, I didn't get that far in the talk because my daughter, she was like, Dad, all right, I'm just saying, maybe check into those cookies and see what's going on. Last thought, who likes parody? If you like parody in the NBA and in Major League Baseball, you are living in a golden age. Not so much in the NFL. In the NFL, here have been the last 10 years winners of the Super Bowl. Chiefs, Chiefs, Rams, Bucks, Chiefs, Patriots, Eagles, Patriots, Broncos, Patriots. So in other words, 6 of the 10 Super Bowl winners have been two teams, Chiefs and Patriots. In the NBA, not nearly so much. We're on a 7-year heater of new teams each year. New team, who dis? Celtics, Nuggets, Warriors, Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Warriors. Oh, wait, I did Warriors twice there, so 6 years in a row. Then the Warriors and their three-peat with Warriors, Warriors, Cavs, Warriors. But pretty good. MLB is even better. There is a 6-year heater of a new team every 6 years. Rangers, Astros, Braves, Dodgers, Nats, Red Sox. Then to the Astros again. But if you go even further, prior to the Astros, Cubs, Royals, Giants, that's 9 of 10 winners that were new and not repeats in that span. Some say they love it. Others are like, I don't know. I kind of like super teams. I kind of like dynasties as long as they're not too annoying. Funny, because you would think it'd be easier to buy a team in the NBA or Major League Baseball, but it's not. The NFL with the hardest salary cap, the most injuries, and results for the shortest season that are often the most chaotic because of bad calls, fumbles, you name it, is now a league in which if you got a great quarterback like Mahomes or Brady, well, there you go. Speaking of those quarterbacks, the Broncos and the Buccaneers only crashed that last 10-year championship list because why? They got a Hall of Fame great at quarterback in their last gasp of greatness. Peyton Manning with the Broncos, and of course, Tom Brady with the Buccaneers. All right, that's it for me today. Thank you so much for listening. If you could, if you don't want to subscribe on Fridays, and I appreciate everyone who does, then guess what? You can always rate and review for free. It tickles the algorithmic overlords. Leave a comment. That way people go, hey, this is a good podcast. I like this guy. He's smart, but not arrogant. He's funny, but doesn't try too hard. He's handsome, but he's also an... Okay, I've gone too far on that, but you get the point. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow for subscribers only on this short 3-day 4th of July week in which Progress Bar on Twitter says, alert, 2024 is 50% over. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow, subscribers. Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long.